Good evening, everyone. Thank you again for taking the time tonight and just opening up your heart and your home to the Word of God. And I can say this, that when we do finally get to come together and meet as a church family face to face, it's going to be on a Wednesday night, just like this, right over there in our auditorium. And hopefully that's only 3 weeks away or so. We're looking at that anyway. I assure you that when the time gets near, we will give you all of the protocols and lots of information what to do. The drive-in service is the one that may continue for a little bit longer because of the size of the crowd and getting them back together. But I'm excited for Wednesday nights and getting back together as God's people, and I know you are as well. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of Titus, the wonderful little pastoral epistle called Titus. And we're going to look at chapter 1 and some things the Lord has blessed me with and laid on my heart that I want to share with you as well from the Word of God. Titus chapter 1. And I hope you found it, and I hope you have your Bibles out. You're together with the Word of God, with your family. Titus chapter 1. And let's look at the first verse. Something that says, God cannot do. Familiar verse, you all know it. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, I want you to think for just a moment about all of the weighty and substantial words that are contained in this one tiny little statement. And I say weighty because in the sense of I'm speaking about the breadth and the depth of their meaning just in the English language, not including their deep theological meaning. For example, you see the word hope there, right? That is a powerful word, the word hope. We hear a lot about it in the situation now in the world and in America, this idea of hope. This is real hope. The word eternal, I mean, a word that millions of sermons have been preached on, just that one word. The word life, you see that there? The word God, the word lie, Satan's favorite word, the word promise, the word world. Think about this. Seven words, any one of which could fill the libraries of our town with all of the books that have been written just on that one word. And yet, the Holy Spirit of God takes these seven words, puts them all in a very brief statement in one verse, and then presents to us a very powerful, one of the most consequential truths, I think, in fact, I know, in all of the Bible. It is a truth, as we noted, that concerns something that God can not do. You know, when I was 15 years of age, I remember traveling on a church-sponsored trip to BBC, Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And I went there. It was a college trip to see the college because that's where I was going to attend, as far as I knew, and consider that possibility. But one of the things I remember the most about that trip was this large marble sign that they had at the entrance to the school. I assume it's still there. To this day, I have a picture of that sign that I took when I was there on that trip. And it's a sign that's simply engraved with the words of today's text, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I can't tell you what an impression that sign that day, that entire week, and then the picture I took of it had on my life at that time and in the weeks, months, and years to follow. You know, during the time that I saw the sign that summer was when the Watergate hearings were in full gear, so that all that you heard on television in those days, CBS, NBC, ABC is all you had, but all you had all day long was one witness after another standing before a Senate committee, raising his right hand and swearing to do something that he probably was not going to do. Namely, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you know, I remember thinking that with man, you have to do something akin to an oath, a swearing in with the threat of a penalty, perjury, jail time, perhaps, in order to give some kind of assurance that this person's testimony is truthful. And you know why that is? The reason is that man is basically, essentially, a liar. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, look down at the same chapter, Titus 1. Look at verse 12, would you? He says, one of themselves, one of their own prophets, it says, said the Cretans are always liars. Now, I always tell people, you know, tell married couples, don't use the word always. You're always late. You're always that. It's not fair. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says the Cretans are always liars. And it's from a so-called prophet. And you're probably tempted to say that's a terrible, cynical thing for someone to say about an entire nation of people. The Cretans are always liars? Isn't that just a sweeping exaggeration that's a lie in itself? Well, actually, the next verse, Paul says this, "This witness is true." Wow. He says, one of your own prophets says the Cretans are always liars. By the way, he's not wrong. You know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Truth lies in a well, the old philosopher said. And those who go down to that well to find the truth will first see their reflection, the reflection of their own face first in the water. And in seeing their own image, they will become so enamored with themselves that they assume themselves to be truthful and therefore leave the well of truth in their own deceit. You know, ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has had a throne on this earth. And it is a throne that is established with lies. Yeah, he sits on a throne of lies. Don't know if it smells like beef and cheese, but he sits on a throne of lies. He really does. He's called the father of lies. Since he's the father of lies, that means he has children. Children who are liars. If you look at our society, even in this current climate, right now at this moment, you will see the entertainment industry has been built upon lies and deceit. Our media does not really practice all the truth that's fit to print. Truth is quite relative to them. News, therefore, so-called, is riddled with lies. Our entire educational system, I'll just say it, is built upon the greatest lie of all, the lie of evolution. Our political system is so structured that the best politicians are often just the very best liars. Someone once wrote that great diplomacy is the art of lying, lying as an art. If it is, then Washington, D.C. is the art capital of the world. Falsehood is everywhere. It's in Palm Beach and it's in Riviera Beach. It's in public life and it's in private life. And of course, just as we noted last week with Micah, that would be a very bleak and a very discouraging and dark prospect, except for one thing, except for the glorious light and the blessing of this text. You see, Satan is the father of lies, but God cannot lie. Now, follow this carefully. Our text does not say that God will not lie. It says that God cannot lie. You know, we know men and women who, at times, will not lie. A lot of people, at times, will not lie. But all of them can lie. That's why, in a court of law, as we noted, you have to raise your hand. And you have to swear to tell the truth. You can't be trusted. Which brings me to three simple observations. Based upon Titus 1:2, and observations that God gave to us so that we could go forward in full faith. I'll begin, number one, with the reality of the text, the thing we've looked at already, because the reality that God cannot lie is a glorious one for us to understand. Think for a moment. Think of why that is true about God, but that's not true about me, your pastor. That's not true about man. For example, God cannot lie because God is not afflicted with our fallen nature, right? You know that. You know, man presumably is always searching for the truth. That's what religion's all about, all the isms of the world. He's always trying to find truth. The problem is, his eyes are darkened, the Bible says, so that any search that man would do for the truth is doomed from the start. He cannot follow truth in a straight line. Always, therefore, he's turning to the right hand, to the left hand. And therefore, he's having to find or fall into a deceit. But you know what? God cannot fall into that trap because God's not searching for the truth. He is the truth. He already knows all. Secondly, God can't lie because God's too wise to lie. What do you mean? You know, Clarence Edward McCartney said that falsehood is the expedient of a foolish man. Man cannot see past the immediate. God always sees past the immediate. God sees the beginning as well as the ending, and therefore, God never plays the role of those who are ignorant, who lie for some present advantage. Number three, God has no motive for lying. You see, when a man lies, man or woman, it's for gain, it's self-protection, or it's self-promotion. But what does God have to gain? And from whom does he need to protect himself? And why should God lie when the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? God owns the entire universe. He has no need of lying about his own greatness. Kings and queens lie to deceive people into following them. Politicians do. But God doesn't need to do that. Number four, lying is the natural bent of men and women of little character. You realize that when a great man, he's known as great, because he doesn't lie, he's known as Honest Abe. His greatness is identified with his shocking honesty. But you know what? Simply put, God is too great to ever need to lie. And by the way, God is also infinitely good. And when you put his goodness and greatness together, you have God, who is too great to lie and too good to want to lie. Number five, God cannot lie because he's unchangeable. If you think about it for a moment, a lie is almost always a change. It's almost always a retraction. It's something different than what was said beforehand. How many different positions and statements has the World Health Organization had on the same exact subject just from January of this year till now and May of this year? Lies? It's called deception. And by nature, deception always changes. But guess what? God never changes. And since God never changes, he cannot lie. In other words, having said only that which is true, he cannot change from it. Well, hear me carefully, because we could go on and on tonight showing these reasons why God cannot lie. But suffice it to say, it's his nature. It is his holy nature, and it's the reality of this text. Our God cannot lie. Now, a lot of man-made gods, man-created gods can lie. They're capricious. They can change their mind. But that brings us to the second consideration. And that is the ramification of the text. All right, look at verse 2 again. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Promised. People make promises. I've made promises that I couldn't keep. But God made a promise. And I don't want the simplicity of what he says in this verse. Don't allow it to keep you from the glory of it. You see, if God cannot lie, then therefore everything God has said, including all of his promises, everything must be true. For example, eternal life. It's right there in verse 2, right? In hope of eternal life. God, he says, promised it before the world began. Therefore, anything and everything that God has to say about eternal life has to be true. There is not a shadow of a lie upon anything of which God speaks or thinks or does. God cannot lie about his prophecies. God cannot lie about his promises. He cannot lie about his judgments. He cannot lie about his commands. And the ramifications of that, beloved, is that everything in his word is true. So that whatever God said about heaven, and he says some and a lot, well, it's true. Whatever God has said in his word about hell, like it or not, believe it or not, it's all true. Whatever God has said about the second coming, gospel, salvation, whatever God has said about creation, his word, the Bible, the Holy Spirit and sin, you name it, whatever God has said, he cannot lie. So all of it is true. True. The reality of the text, the ramifications of the text. The third thing I want you to consider is then the response of the text. Notice the first three words of verse 2. In hope of. In hope of. Now, we've said it many times before, and you know this to be true. The Bible, when the Bible uses the word hope, you understand it's not the same anemic word that we hear from politicians and others today. The Bible word expresses hope as faith. Peter calls it, in fact, a living hope. Romans 8:24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do they hope for?" Hope is faith. In other words, look, the response to this text is singular and crystal clear. God cannot lie. Therefore, it is our duty to believe everything he has said. Pastor Blaylock, there are tens of millions of people in America who do not believe what God has said about 6 days of creation. Fine. That in the face of all of that disagreement or opposition, you believe God. Millions of people can lie, but God cannot lie. When circumstances and evidences seem to contradict the Word of God and His plan in your life, don't look at the circumstances. You believe God. Why? Circumstances are deceptive, but God cannot lie. If the feelings and fears of your own heart bring you into doubt or despair, then don't listen to your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. It's a liar above all things, but God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Can I tell you tonight why people die in their sins and go to an eternal hell? It's unbelief. And it's unbelief because they refuse to believe that God cannot lie. Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. God says that. God cannot lie. And so if someone replies, "Well, I just think there's lots of different ways. You know, many roads, one mountain. There's got to be. I think that if you're sincere, I don't believe that a loving God would ever condemn." What are you doing? Well, you're calling God a liar. Unbelief is man's indictment against God. Now, Christian, our Father, our Lord, and the Son of God has said a lot of things in His Word about a lot of things concerning this life. He has said a lot of things about church. He has said a lot of things about marriage, about gossip, about greed, about kindness, about submission to authority. He said a lot of things in His Word about child rearing. Well, I don't know if I agree with this one part over here about child rearing. Agree? Agree. You in your heart would call the Heavenly Father a liar when God cannot lie. You see, this is the reason the Bible says that God has exalted His Word above His very name. This, the Word of God, is all true and no lies. Someone says, "Pastor, how do you know? How do you know that you have eternal life?" I can tell you, I know. God cannot lie. I know what He said about it. I know how He said to get it. And God can't lie. How do you know that Jesus is coming again? Because He said so. He can't lie. Well, how do you know? Jesus said this and that about heaven. How do you know? Because God cannot lie. You know, Jesus said about heaven, "If it were not so," that's the truth, the whole truth. "If it were not so," He said, "I would have told you." In other words, Jesus told His disciples, think about this for a moment, to base their entire lives, their entire eternity on what He says. David Livingston was terrified one night because of a lion outside his tent. And then he remembered the promise, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He was taking the gospel. And in his journal, he wrote, "This is the word of a gentleman. I shall believe it." And he fell fast asleep. Didn't worry about the lion that he knew was around that tent. Yeah? But he's even more than the word of a gentleman. It is the word of God. And God cannot lie. And to that end, it's not all that difficult to understand our response. Believe Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. Embrace all of His words. Look, if there was a man or a woman today who existed on this planet who could not lie. If there was a man or a woman who could only tell the truth, in some ways, if you think about it, that man or that woman would be the most valuable friend you could ever have. As Shakespeare once wrote, bind him to your soul with hoops of steel because that person's valuable. Unfortunately, every man in this world can lie. And the only one who ever walked among us, the only one who ever breathed our air and walked our dusty paths, who couldn't lie, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you respond to these truths? I can say tonight that when I was 15 years of age, and I first grasped the meaning of it in those late night devotions after seeing that sign, I wanted to respond in one way, believe and obey everything that God has said. And I can say, all these many decades later, each time I believed and obeyed, it was right and it was good every single time. And each time I doubted or I didn't believe or obey, it was wrong. And the result was bad every single time. It really is a defining moment when you fully realize that there's only one person in the universe who you can trust with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. What man would ever have the audacity to tell followers or people or family members or anyone, trust me and love me with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? It's a defining moment when you realize there's only one person. There is, thankfully, gloriously, there's one person you can trust in that degree. And the glory is that the one who cannot lie, the one who cannot lie, also, therefore, cannot stop loving you as his child. So let's do this. Let's trust him. Let's trust him being reminded that the just shall live by faith. Why? Why is it that that's the theme of the entire scripture and all the commands? The just shall live by faith. One reason, because you can trust this one who cannot lie. And how glorious it is to open up the Word of God and to read in this glorious book promises and prophecies and warnings and instructions and know that all of them are true. This is not a TED talk that we get from the Word of God when we have to pick and choose what we think is good and what's not good, or what's awesome and what's not. It's all awesome. So let's just embrace all of it as God's people. God bless you tonight. I hope that as we go forth each day and each week and month that God gives us in these unusual circumstances in this crazy world, that people will look at us and say, you know what? These people are different. They trust God. And the reason we trust him is because he cannot lie. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that we can trust every word. There hath not failed one word of all your good promise, because you cannot lie. We love you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I can't wait to see you folks again and be with you on Sunday morning. And I really can't wait until we're together again on a Wednesday night, just like tonight. We love you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night in the Lord.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.